This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show.
And I'm your host, Walt Teason, here with my co-host, Yona June Teason. Today is Thursday, September the 4th, 2014. And yay. Welcome to LOA Today. How have you been, Yona? You had a good week?
I did, actually. Yes, it's September.
Any good quick news you can tell us about?
No, I just had a lovely dinner, so.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's the highlight of my day.
It often is, and that's the thing that's really cool, because we don't always have to have this really great, big, fantastic event to happen. It can be the little things, and they work just as well to get our mood up and get our attitude up, and, of course, when that happens, that's when all the good things happen in life. So, hey, celebrate it. That's great.
Exactly.
We have a guest joining us today, and this guest is somebody that our new producer, Brenda Marks, Brenda's decided she's going to, at least for a while now, give us a hand by setting up shows and all that kind of cool stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and this is somebody that she knows that she invited to bring on. His name is Todd Johnston. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Todd. Todd is a paraplegic. He was injured a number of years ago in a motorcycle accident, and he took that rather challenging situation and turned it into something remarkable. He works as the Northeast Regional Coordinator for Peer and Family Support for the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation. Mm-hmm. And he's here to talk to us about his life experience and about what he does for the foundation. So, Todd Johnston, are you on the line? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am, Walt. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I have to ask the hard question first. I'm sure you get this all the time, but is it okay if you tell us about what happened all those years ago?
Oh, sure. I was working as a part-time local sort supervisor for United Parcel Service. That evening, I was driving home on my motorcycle, and I was going past a restaurant where a person was pulling out of the parking lot but didn't see me. So he pulled out in front of me, and I ran into him in my motorcycle. Because of that, I flipped over his car and had a terrible accident. I broke my back at thoracic vertebrae 4, so I'm paralyzed from my chest down, and I also lost a sight in my right eye from that incident.
Wow. That's a rough thing to go through for anybody, and to make it a permanent injury, that's devastating. How did you manage to, I know how you survived it physically, I'm sure you had lots of good medical care, but mentally and emotionally, how did you manage to survive that?
Well, you know, that's a very good point. I always talk to everyone who speaks with me and tells me, geez, Todd, you seem to be so positive, and got a great outlook on life, and you're doing all this wonderful stuff, or you're just amazing. And I could just tell them, I said, I owe it all to good friends. You know, I had good friends before my accident, and then after my accident, they were there supporting me through my rehab and through the remaining part of my life. And, you know, if you have good friends, you can get through anything.
So how long ago? Hi, Todd. This is Yona.
Hi, Yona.
How long ago has it been?
It was July 1983. So 32 years ago.
And you said that you've had, you know, good friends to support you through it all, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, did you go through the, you know, the depression and all that, before you accepted what was? What is?
You know, it's hard to think about it now. I know that I was extremely depressed when I didn't realize that I didn't have any feeling from my chest down, unable to move my legs at all. Again, being blind in my right eye, all of it was a tough thing to take. There's no two ways about it. Working through it, talking through things, talking with friends, for them, you know, for all my friends who just handle it, you know, I just can't do some things. I can't do the stairs anymore. Maybe not go climb a mountain, but there's so many things I can do, and I still do them with my friends, so it's great.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember anything about your mindset at the time where you somehow made the shift, you passed that tipping point, as they call it, and found yourself back into a realm of positive, gung-ho, let's live life attitude?
You know, I think it just comes from relationships, speaking with my friends and family, you know, their positive attitudes, knowing that, you know, probably one of those things, if anyone could beat this, you can type of thing, or able to make something out of your life from a hard curve that was sent towards you. So a major, major bump in the road.
But, yeah.
You know, the work I do as a peer mentor and the Northeast Regional Coordinator for Peer and Family Support Program for the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation, that gives me such pleasure.
Tell us about that. What do you do there? What exactly is your role?
Well, I'm the what's called the Northeast Regional Coordinator. So I will speak with peers. These are newly spinal cord injured people or people who have suffered from a traumatic injury or a disease to their spinal cord. And I will match them up with a peer of the same, if possible, the same age, same sex, same break or disability that they have. If not, then I will take on the role as their mentor and share with them really the wealth of information that I have gathered over the many years of being in a wheelchair.
So how old were you when this happened? I think you said that before, but I was just...
I was 22.
Oh, okay, I see.
22.
So you were a young man.
Yep.
And I'm guessing that you have to work with children sometimes, right?
You're right. And you know, another point that I would bring up that was very, very helpful to my overall rehabilitation, I guess you could put it, would be that a few years after my accident, I was approached by a lady at the Travelers when I worked there, and she asked me if I ever played wheelchair basketball before, and I was very much into sports in high school, and I was a terrible basketball player in high school, just didn't have the coordination, but I thought, what the heck, let me try it, and the most interesting thing was to be out on the court with all the different players and playing along with all of us having a different disability, yet none of us having a disability.
Wow.
What I mean by that is that we all, it was just life. You know, if you fell out of the chair, somebody from the other team would yell, scrape them, you know, get them off to the side so we could keep playing. You know, a lot of great jokesters really just say, hey, you know, here are our challenges, but we're all going forward. We could play a great sport. And then the camaraderie after the games was also terrific.
Wow, that's a great group to have, to belong to.
So tell us what you tell your peers when you're speaking to them, particularly for the first time. I mean, obviously they're most likely to be in that kind of space you were in all those years ago after what happened to you. How do you reach them? Obviously the fact that you're in the similar predicament provide some degree of compatibility and identity, but nevertheless, they're probably in a bad space. How do you reach them?
Well, depending on the state that they're in, sometimes I will meet them. More than likely, it's after they've gone out of critical care and into a rehabilitation center.
Uh-huh.
At that point, they may be, you know, depressed or mad or frustrated, which are all different things that you feel when you go through a traumatic injury like this.
Sure.
But I go in with a happy face and a, And my service dog, which is another wonderful icebreaker, I've got a beautiful bone retriever German Shepherd mix, who's my service dog and my best companion. And we go in and we just talk to them and, you know, listen. Let them talk. They're the ones with all the questions. And try to field all their answers the best I can. And then when the time comes, relate with them all that's available to them. And to let them know that I've had so many years experience, and I've been connected with so many different organizations that they need to know they don't have to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. If they've got a question, they can ask me, and I probably had the same question. If not, I can go out and try to find the answer. But to let them know that, you know, there is hope. You can have a full and exciting life. A couple of years, 5 years after my accident, I ended up getting married to a wonderful lady. And we were married for 15 years. So everything good can happen. And she happened to be able-bodied. She wasn't in a wheelchair.
Wow. That's very cool. As you're probably aware, our show focuses on the law of attraction. So I do have to ask you, because it's something we can't automatically assume. Is the law of attraction something that you have paid any attention to? Is it something you believe in? Do you disbelieve it? And any answer is okay, but I'm trying to find out where you're coming from.
Sure. Well, I didn't have a good understanding of what it was until just briefly.
Okay.
But I, you know, it's sort of, I can sort of believe in it in the way that, you know, if you're positive thinking, you're going to attract other positive thinkers, and or vice versa. I prefer to be on the positive side because life is just much better that way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're, you know, the great feeling I feel when I meet with somebody, a peer that I mentor, and you can, it's like automatically they are so close to you, and they want to be your friend. You've got information to share with them that can help them have a better quality of life, even if they don't know it at the time. They just, and who knows, maybe it's Madden that helps bring that along. You
sure.
Know? Because he's just a wonderful, wonderful dog. So, you know, in the parts that I understand of the laws of attraction, if the laws are true, that's terrific, because it does seem to fit in what I do and the good things that happen to me and those around me.
Well, that leads to my next question, because I wondered if you could tie it into what you do specifically as you know, your coordinator position at the Reed Foundation.
Okay. Well, I guess it goes back to, you know, the great feeling we have from helping one another.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you go into the office and you just open your door for your co-host, or somebody opens the door for me, you know, rather than me always saying, oh, no, I got it. Don't worry, I can push it open. I allow people to do it. Let them open the door. Let them have that good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you help someone out. In a simple way, they can feel great because they opened the door for me, and I can feel good that they feel good. So it seems to go around, you know. You know, when you think through those people who are newly injured that are so concerned that now they can't go run in the field anymore or can't go hiking or go down to the pond to go fishing as easy as they could before they were injured, those are tough things, but you can talk through ways of getting around it. You know, they've got different wheelchairs now, different apparatuses that can make it so I could get out in the woods. I mean, the most terrific thing is I had a man bring what was called an action track chair. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's been on TV on Bill O'Reilly. because he's getting it for the Wounded Warriors. And it's a terrific chair that allows you to go out in the woods. I've got about 5 acres of land, and I've, for the first 16 years or so that I've been here, I've never been able to be out in the woods. You brought the chair, and it was tremendous.
Oh, so you have it.
It's that extra freedom, you know? I don't currently have one of them, but it was great to be actually be out in the woods. All this stuff I've been thinking when I've been sitting on my deck looking out in the woods saying, boy, how great would it be to be out there? And then also to have Madden along with me, you know, he's running in the woods saying, wow, this is cool. Dad, you're with me. You're never out here. You know, so that type of stuff is great. So when you work with somebody who's lost the ability to walk, if you can show them different avenues, different ways to get around things, and to realize, hey, you may not be able to do some things anymore, but there's so much you still can do. It could be so full, you'll hardly remember what you couldn't do.
Part of the strategy you described as you were discussing what you do with people when you meet with them for the first time with the peer group is that you try to walk in with a smile on your face, and that's what led me to my question. I'm wondering, can you talk more specifically about what does your attitude as you walk into the room, what actual impact does it have? Does it actually draw them into the positive realm, and if so, how long does it take? You know, can you talk about that a bit?
Well, I have had times where I've met with a peer that whether it was an issue with one of their daily life activities had gone wrong, or a fight with a nurse or with a family member, or just being depressed, and you know, those times, I've got to just be able to say, you know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. If you would like to chat, I want to let you know I'm here. I don't have to stay in your room. You can ring the bell. I'll come back down to speak with you.
Uh-huh.
I give them my business card. I give them the Paralysis Resource Guide, which is a national guide put out by Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation, full of information and resources that they can read about and their family members can read about, so they can have a better understanding of what their spouse or sibling is going through.
I think it's also noteworthy, too, that the foundation is named after Chris Reeve, who, of course, had that horrific fall from a horse, actually in a town about one town away from where my wife and I lived in Virginia for about 11 years, in Culpeper, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah. Really nearby. I know almost exactly where he fell, but he had such an amazing attitude about his injury and his rehabilitation and his fight for life and so forth. And although his life was cut short, as often happens with these kinds of things, he was quite the symbol of hope and determination for so many people. Was that also true for you?
Well, I would say that a lot of people They in a way may gravitate to me as far as, you know, there's a nice guy to go and chat with. I've been referred to by many people. I've only been in this position for 2 years, but in the conversations I've had, there really is. There's so much to share, and in doing that, you're pretty much letting the peer know that, you know, there's hope. There's better ways, you know, tips and tricks, you know, different ways to push a wheelchair or different types of assistant devices that can make people's lives better. You know, the fact that, sure, if you're in a wheelchair, it doesn't mean you can't drive a car anymore. You could have hand controls. If you're not strong enough to pull the chair in and put it in the seat next to you, you can get a van with a ramp and just roll up and lock in if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in power chairs do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the wonderful thing about Christopher Reeve is his injury was so severe that, and for him to have such a positive outlook and to have such a desire to help others as far as putting money towards research. And there's been so many great things happening. You know, that's one wonderful positive thing I could say to people who are newly injured is, you know, things have worked out great for me. And the technology and stuff that was around 32 years ago is nothing like it is today. Today is amazing. So there's a lot more hope for people to do a lot more things.
And that is exciting. There's no doubt about it. Now, I don't want to leave people with the impression that all you do is this role as a Northeast coordinator, because you actually have a number of different things you're involved with. Why don't you just take a moment and itemize some of them?
As far as the people that I mentor?
Well, for instance, I know that you're on a subcommittee for the Down by the River Bike for Hope and Music Festival.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up. As a side thing that I like to do is I held a position with Ability Beyond Disability as the Employment Services Manager, and that was to help people with disabilities get employment. And my main intention was try to find higher level employment for people with disabilities. And I held what was called a work incentive seminar event, a WISE event, for the Ticket to Work. Everybody has a disability automatically if they get the SSI or SSDI insurance. They have what's called a Ticket to Work. And I was working with a seeing impaired man who wanted to start his own business, you know, or take on a business, you know, buy a franchise. Well, that conversation got me involved with a great group called Life Designs and Wellness, Fitness and Wellness Center, and I believe they're rebranding as Rehability Center, which is a center down in Shelton, Connecticut, and they created a nonprofit called Moving with Hope, so they can go out and do fundraisers to have funds available to help those who may be on limited income that are post-rehab but still need rehab but can't afford the full price to be at a recreation wellness center.
Mm-hmm.
So this event, actually, that's going to happen on Saturday, September 6th, is called Down by the River Bike for Hope and Music Festival.
And that's in Connecticut, right?
Pardon me?
That's in Connecticut?
Yes, it is. It's in Shelton, Connecticut, at the Riverwalk Veterans Memorial. And that's, I believe 80 Canal Street in Shelton, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And they're having a fundraising bike ride. It's not competitive. People could sign up to be in a bike ride, 50, 25, or 10-mile routes. Where people raise money and the funds gathered will be used for scholarships to assist those that I just mentioned before, maybe on a fixed income, that can't afford to go to this type of rehabilitation center or fitness center. I shouldn't say rehabilitation center. And another wonderful thing that we're doing part of this event is for a memorial to a young man that I mentored. His name is Carlo Manassi. And unfortunately, a few years back, he was diagnosed with cancer, and from an operation, he became a paraplegic. And I started to mentor him, and within the year that I mentored him, the cancer came back and he passed away last August.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are writing a memorial to Carlo, which is tremendous because this is something that'll live on. And this is something that Carlo would have been supportive of. Carlo was a very active young man. He was part of the Connecticut Spoke Benders. It was great to have him out there on playing wheelchair basketball. He certainly lived the life that he could to the fullest before the cancer came back and took him.
You also have another event coming up on the 14th. This one's a really fascinating one, and apparently you're the coordinator of it. This is the fourth annual Take a Veteran Sailing event on the shoreline in Connecticut. Tell us what that's about.
That is just wonderful. I had taken part. I had a friend of mine who had gone partially blind he wanted me, he was living with me for a little while, and he asked that I take him to an event called Take a Veteran Fishing. So I took him down there, and that's where North Branford, the church there, it set this up to help out veterans with disabilities to allow them to go fishing. And one of the times I had done that, I had gone sailing afterwards through an adaptive sailing organization called Sail Connecticut Access. And you could see their site is sailctaccess.org. Matter of fact, if you go out to the site, you can see a small video of Madden sailing with me. it's really, really terrific. But that organization is set up to take people with disabilities and their family members out sailing. So after attending a couple of the Take a Veterans Fishing events, I'd asked the coordinators, have they ever tried to put something together like Take a Veterans Sailing event? They all thought it was a great idea, but they didn't have anyone to coordinate it. So I was lucky enough to work with Sail Connecticut Access. They're donating their time and their boats, the captains and the first mates, to take up to 30 veterans with disabilities out sailing. And the first year we did it was on the 10th anniversary of the September 11th disaster that we had in New York City. But at that time, that really drew people together to really, you know, think about the veterans also. So this is going to be the fourth annual. We're very excited to do it. I've got 9 veterans signed up right now. This last week, I'm sure we'll get some more. But if any of your listeners know of someone who is a veteran with a disability and they are interested, it is out of... Nope, Madden. Sorry, it's my service dog. You heard something.
well,
it's out of Brewers Pilot Point Marina in Westbrook, Connecticut, through Sail Connecticut Access. And if they wanted to reach out to me, they certainly can. My phone number is 860-558-7384. We do work with the West Haven VA and the Newington VA, and they bring in some veterans with disabilities and some of their family members to go sailing. It's a wonderful day. We provide a continental type of breakfast and then a nice lunch, which will be catered this year. So it'll be very, very nice.
You are quite a busy guy.
He's a very busy guy. And what a great way to not only honor veterans, but to turn their life experience into something really positive for a change. That's just phenomenal. That's got to have, no matter how you look at it, that's got to have positive consequences.
Well, I tell you what, one of the most favorite things, because it was a lot of work in the beginning to get it first established, but now the same volunteers seem to come back. They're all excited to happen, to be there. We definitely have returning veterans with disabilities because they had such a good time. You know, the conversations that you hear that the veterans are having, the smiles on their face, and they're very happy. They really enjoy themselves. That just makes me feel terrific. And you know, there's something I wanted to mention that's really fortunate for us here in Connecticut. There's an organization called Oak Hill out of Hartford, and they've been around for over 120 years. And they've been helping out people with disabilities. They started out helping out the blind and seeing impaired, but now help out people with all disabilities. Well, they're doing this unbelievable thing that's going to open up in October in the middle of Bristol, and it's called Chapter 126 Sports and Fitness. And it is a building that is being totally refurbished to have all adaptive equipment. So people with physical disabilities and their family members and friends can all go exercise if they like, or be in because they have a couple of areas where you can just sit and talk or watch a wheelchair basketball game or some other wheelchair sports. It's tremendous. Connecticut is very, very fortunate that this is going to happen. And this is going to be in Bristol, Connecticut. And it's on 75 Upson Street. And I'm hoping that I'll be there for sure. And I will meet a lot more of my peers, and I will, and all the people that I mentor, I'm going to tell about it. Because you don't have to just work out. It could be a community type of center, too. We can go there and think about trips that you want to go on and things like that. They will have computers there so people can access the Internet. They'll have a little coffee shop. It's really, really going to be tremendous. With accessible bathrooms, larger changing rooms, if you need to have a family changing room, so if you have assistance that you need come in to help, it's really going to be set up perfect. It's just going to be great.
That sounds fantastic. Listen, Tal, we have to take a break, but if you hang on, let's carry on our conversation after the break. You can tell us about some of the more cool and amazing things you're doing, despite having an injury that a lot of people would have said would incapacitate you for life, and you're proving them wrong.
Well, thank you.
So
I'll hold. Thank you.
So hang on around, and we'll be right back. This is LOA Today here on PRN, and we will be back after these messages. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, the love is too high. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, I said. Bring me down, can't none. Bring me down, the love is too high. Bring me down, can't none. Back here on LOA Today, Walter Jordan, on this Thursday evening, with our guest, Todd Johnson. Disabled Man is proving that being disabled doesn't mean you're disabled. It means that you can do some great things with life, and he's proving it every single day of his life. Yona, as we were listening to Todd's story, and we're going to bring him back in here in a moment or two, it made me think about some of the work that you've done toward your PhD, and I'm wondering, can you give us any clues, any tips about what the physical side is of the positivity he brings to his work and how it affects perhaps not only himself but other disabled people? Yona, are you there? Uh-oh, I think I may have lost Yona. Todd, are you there?
Yes, I am, Walt.
Okay, I think we lost Yona. We'll bring her back in a moment.
okay, that's fine.
But while we're waiting for her to hook back in, let's talk a little bit more about some of the other stuff that you've done.
Well, thank you, Walt. From my...
Sorry, I'm back.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, wonderful.
I turned my mic off, and then I couldn't turn it back on.
Oh, I've done that. I know how that feels. You feel like a fool when you do it, but it's so easy
exactly.
to do.
Okay. Well, would you like her to answer your question?
Yeah, let's go to Yona first, and then we'll go back to you and talk about some of the stuff you were talking about. Yona, can you talk a little bit about the physical side of how positivity can affect the disabled?
Yeah, just, listening to his story is so amazing and refreshing because, it's one thing to read about it and do the research, but to actually meet someone who is putting that practice into life. Are you hearing an echo, or is it just me?
We're hearing okay at this end. If you have an echo, maybe Martin can try to filter it out, but go ahead.
Okay. So some of the things that, Todd has actually experienced in his life is what we research in the lab and how the mental attitude and the way a person thinks and approaches life and even whatever circumstances they are in, how it affects their body, how it affects their health and how, their healing and their recovery from injury. It's actually very, very inspiring because what we know is that definitely the people who have a more positive outlook, they respond better, they respond to treatment better, they actually can, get healed a lot quicker. And that's not just talk, because we know that when a person feels good, thinks happy thoughts, they actually produce the healing chemicals. You produce the neurotransmitters and the enzymes, the proteins, all the body, all that the body needs for its healing. And on the opposite side, when you feel stressed out or unhappy or depressed, you are actually producing destructive chemicals. You're producing a lot of, you know, cortisol and all the harmful stuff that can break down your cells and your tissues and actually counteract anything that the medicine or the medical practice might be doing. So, yeah, definitely, you know, one of the things I'd love to ask Todd is if he has, you know, prior, before the incident, if he was someone who always had such a positive attitude.
You know, that's a great question. I do believe I was positive. There's an interesting quick story I'd like to share with you.
Sure.
I attended a wonderful course. Besides being mentoring and working with the Connecticut Chapter of National Spinal Cord Injury Association and involved with other nonprofits, I have found that I like to go out and try to help others. In other words, be their voice for those few people who aren't getting out, to be an advocate. And I was very fortunate to find out about a wonderful course called Partners in Policymaking, which is put on through the state here in Connecticut. And it's an 8-month-long course, which is done over 9 months. They just skip a month during the summer. And it's a full-day Friday and a full-day Saturday. You stay overnight at the hotel as you get this training. And it's all about teaching people with disabilities and caregivers for the people with disabilities how to be a self-advocate. And an interesting thing happened. One, the first class for homework, they said, okay, everyone going home, if you have a disability, when you wake up in the morning, you're not going to have one. It's going to be gone.
Wow.
But then they said, now we want you to think about what disability would you choose to have if you had to have one. So I thought about it, and then the next day I was first to raise my hand, and they said, okay, Todd, so what did you decide this? Well, if I woke up and I had to have a disability, I said, I would like to be blind. And one of the participants in the class who was blind, a very wonderful lady, great friend of mine, April Burke, she laughed when she heard my response. But the reason that I said that's what I wanted is because I really wanted to know for myself if I would continue to do the things I do to help others if I had such a traumatic disability. So it was more of an introspective type of look.
Wow. That's a challenging question, too, to ask yourself.
Yeah.
And then they had another question where they said, and I certainly don't mean to demean this disability at all, but they did say, what disability would you not want to have? And I said, well, from what I know of schizophrenia, I don't want to be schizophrenic. I told everybody that I feel I have a tough enough time dealing with one voice in my head. I can't imagine having a couple.
Yes. I think we could all identify with that one.
So I guess to answer your question, I would say that yes, I've always been positive. I've enjoyed life. I was very fortunate to be in Boy Scouts, which was a wonderful thing. I became an Eagle Scout in my last year of scouting. And it's all good. And I think part of that upbringing and working and helping others, and you know, an offshoot, a couple of things, and I think this is part of your laws of attraction. This is probably it. If you continue to do good things, you find more and more good things come your way.
Yes.
Yeah, I was working with a group, because we had the Connecticut Chapter of National Spinal Cord Injury Association here. Christopher and Dana Reeves wanted to start a chapter called Team Reeve. And I was interested in being with them. I wanted to make sure that we had a good understanding of how the two chapters could work together in order to support as many people as we could. And during that meeting, Dr. Bill Vasek mentioned that he had a colleague that taught this course called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. And I asked him about it, And he says, this class is a six-week-long class, 2.5 hours, 1 day a week, where it teaches a family caregiver tools to care for themselves while they care for their loved ones. And I was thinking, wow, how great would that have been for my parents when I had my accident?
Yeah.
So I did some research on it. Dr. Vasek and I worked together, and I'm very happy to say 2.5 years ago, we brought Powerful Tools for Caregivers, which has originated out in Oregon, we brought it to Connecticut. And since then, we have taught over 200 family caregivers this course. And it's all free.
Wow.
Due to sponsorship from the Connecticut Chapter of National Spinal Cord Injury Association and the Quality of Life Grant that we got through the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation, which helped us buy the caregiver help books.
So you have another instance of the class coming up soon, don't you?
Yes, we do. Matter of fact, because when the class leaders, Powerful Tools for Caregiver class leaders, when they get taught to teach the class, they sign a letter of intent to teach 2 classes within the next calendar year, and then that's all they're obligated to, which is fine. Fortunately, we have a few wonderful class leaders that have taught way more than 2 classes. Matter of fact, I have a pair, Ken Winkelstern and Janice Zwicker, who have taught over 100 caregivers themselves.
Wow.
So it's just wonderful. And since my initial goal or my grant request to the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation was for 400 caregiver help books, we've gone halfway past our goal, but we're going to do a training for the class leaders on September 30th and October 1st down at Access Independence in Stratford, which is an independent living center in Stratford. And if I'm fortunate enough, I was very fortunate to get the mayor of Danbury, Mark Barton, to come to the last class that we had at the Danbury Senior Center to present a proclamation for Powerful Tools for Caregivers Day. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to branch off of that. I've used that information along with attending a terrific thing when I talked about being an advocate. I've been very fortunate to go to what's called the Roll on Capitol Hill the past 2 years. It's put on by United Spinal, where 2 individuals from all the chapters in the United States go to Washington, D.C., and meet with the House of Representatives and senators to talk about important bills, treaties, and caucuses that we would like them to be involved in. And the great thing about that is when I've had those meetings and I've been able to speak with either them or their liaison, after I cover the 6 position papers, then I talk about what I'm doing in Connecticut. And that's where I talk about Powerful Tools for Caregivers. And I talk about the need for it and that the support is needed from them. And because of the reduction in respite care funding for the family caregivers in Connecticut, a course like this is very, very much appreciated by all the caregivers that take it. So my hopes is, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I've spoken with the scheduler for Senator Richard Blumenthal, that he will attend on October 1st and present a certificate of appreciation for the work we're doing and the work that those new class leaders will be doing in teaching future classes of Powerful Tools for Caregivers.
That is awesome.
You know, and that's
it's
one of the questions.
I got to tell you, when I'm telling you about it, I'm almost like jumping out of my chair. it's so exciting. And, you know, and it's so needed. Matter of fact,
yes.
I have a wonderful lady that I mentor who is a caregiver for, because I do peer and family support, so it's either the injured person or a family member who may be their caregiver. And this lady that I am a mentor for, after I taught her the class of Powerful Tools for Caregivers, she approached me and she said, "Todd, you've changed my life."
Wow.
I mean, you hear something like that, it just makes you want to do another class the next day.
Yeah.
You know, to have such a positive impact on a person's life. And yeah. That's where you really know that you're doing good. You know, you're helping others, and there's no better feeling.
Fantastic.
Yeah, even though I'm not a caregiver, I want to take the class.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you mention that, because when I look at it, they say, you know, it's just for family caregivers, but it's a course that teaches you different communication styles.
Yeah.
Teaches you, you know, how to deal with guilt and anger.
Mm.
It's something that anyone can use. You're certainly right.
Yeah, definitely, because, as we talked about a couple of shows ago with Louise, we're talking about, you know, relationship and communication and how, you know, your attitude and the energy that you bring to the interaction with another person can determine how the relationship, how the conversation goes, how the relationship develops. And so I can see how that could be extremely important when it comes to a caregiver and the person who they're caring for.
Yes, yeah, very much so. Now, there's one other thing that I would like to share, because I'm hoping that some of your listeners, if they would go out to the Connecticut chapter of the National Spinal Cord Injury Association's website, which is www.sciact.org, they can find when the next classes for Powerful Tools for Caregivers are being offered. We do offer them throughout the state, and when we teach the class leaders down in Access Independence in Stratford, we will have more people where we can teach the course down along the coast.
Mm.
Well, a wonderful, wonderful offshoot to just promote how good the course is and how welcome the people feel from taking the course. We created a caregiver group that we hold at Bethany Covenant Church, and I co-chair that with Sammy Noel. She's the director of the Congregation Care and Senior Ministry. She also took the course when I offered it at Bethany Covenant Church. But now we meet on the third Wednesday of the month from 6 to 7:30 at Bethany Covenant Church, where the family caregivers who took the Powerful Tools for Caregiver course, or even if they didn't, they're just a caregiver, they can come. And this is a time for them to talk about the past month's challenges and successes with other caregivers, in hopes that, you know, talking through things, we can help each other out. So the next month will be all that much better.
Now, we, of course, broadcast all across the country. And obviously, there are going to be people in many parts of the country who just, you know, there's no way they can get to Connecticut to do this. But I presume that there are similar chapters around the country that they could check into that would have similar programs. Where would they go to find that out?
You are correct. You go out to the national site, www.powerfultoolsforcaregivers, all one long word, .org. Now, they're based in Oregon, and if you reach out to them, from wherever state you're at, you can ask them if they know of class leaders in the state, and then they can get that person in contact with them so they could possibly take the course in their state. I don't know if the courses in other states are offered free of charge. Like I said, I got a quality of life grant through the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation to pay for the caregiver help books. So the courses in other states may be a charge, at least for the caregiver help book, which is $30. And there are some other handouts and such. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a minimal charge that is charged in other states.
But repeat the address for the national site, just in case people miss it the first time.
Certainly, www.powerfultoolsforcaregivers.org.
Powerfultoolsforcaregivers.org, okay. And that's the word four, not the number four.
You're right, the word, yes.
Okay, because sometimes, you know, people in domain names, they put the number in, or, you know, they spell stuff funny.
Yeah, sure. Yep, it's one long word with no numbers. powerfultoolsforcaregivers.org.
I have to say, you have an amazing resume, to say the least, and I don't think we've even touched on all of it, but we've got maybe 6 minutes left, probably time to talk about one more thing. Is there one more thing that you'd like to bring to the public's attention that would be useful for somebody who doesn't really have direct contact with a disabled person on a regular basis, probably wouldn't know about this kind of thing going on?
Well, you know, I would say to your listening audience, that if they would go out to the UnitedSpinal.org website or the just do a search on National Spinal Cord Injury Association and find a local chapter or a rehabilitation hospital will know of different local chapters. Reaching out to the Christopher and Dana Reeve site has got a ton of wonderful information on it. Matter of fact, they produce a paralysis resource guide, which anyone can go out to the site and download it free of charge to their Kindle or Windows machine, or if they want, they could just bring it up on the site. It's a tremendous book. You can, if you want, you can request it to be sent to you as a hard copy also. Some people like to have things as hard copy, and which is great. Now, for your listeners in Connecticut, if they go to the Connecticut chapter of the National Spinal Cord Injury Association, which was at, it's the acronym for Spinal Cord Injury Association of Connecticut, so it's SCIACT.org, SCIACT.org, and they can find on that website a local resource directory that we've put together, where there are multiple chapters out there that are in a PDF form that people can download to their PC and print out of different local resources in Connecticut. So I would say that, you know, there's different support groups in all the major rehabilitation hospitals to reach out to them. You know, the best thing that people can do if they know somebody who has had a traumatic injury, reach out to the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. Reach out to United Spinal. Oh, there's one more thing I'd like to share, which is just terrific, specifically in Connecticut and then a national one.
Okay.
Connecticut has the UConn Health Center Library and has a function called HealthNet. If the people contact HealthNet, they will do research on medical questions, download the information, print it out, and mail it to your home free of charge. So for older people who don't know the Internet that well or don't search on the Internet that well, the other thing, too, is HealthNet has access to medical libraries that we don't have access to. So you can get great up-to-date information. That's for Connecticut residents. Now, and that is UConn Health Center Library, HealthNet. You do a search on that, you can find the number. The other one is Craig Hospital, and Craig Hospital has a nurse, SEI nurse advice line, where anyone can call nationally and call them over concerns over a non-emergent medical condition to find out information or the latest information on it. A simple one would be dealing with wound care. Decubitus ulcers, different ways of taking care of them. They've made terrific strides in the medical technology to help as far as wound care and repair.
All right. This has been pretty cool, Yona, having Todd on here. He's been really informative, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness. This has been awesome. You know, and the fact that he is associated with the Christopher Reeve Foundation is also phenomenal because I think that it was Christopher Reeve's life and his death eventual that started the whole movement as far as the scientific movement in actually wanting to research the mind-body connection because they realized that there was something to it in how he was able to extend his life as much as he did and the things that he talked about and his attitude. And so scientists and medical professionals took note of that. And I think it was a year after he died that the NIH gave millions of dollars to fund different mind-body institutes to research that connection and how it helps us. And it's not just for people who've had, you know, traumatic incidents or injuries, but just for everyday life in terms of when we have an attitude, when we have a positive outlook, it helps us to resist the diseases. It strengthens our immune system. It makes us, you know, just better able to respond to life in general. And I just remember the story of Norman Cousins, the guy who cured himself of a terminal illness by watching funny movies and making sure that he had fun and laughter every day in his life. And that, too, is a reminder of this powerful mind-body connection. So thank you so much, Todd, for reminding us about that.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And thank you for talking about the Christopher Reeve site and organization. That's one thing that is national, besides United Spinal, that does have peer mentors, too. If you go out to the Christopher and Dana Reeve site, you can request a peer mentor. So if you know someone who's newly injured and you don't have the time to do the research, you can go out and request a peer visit or call from a peer mentor. We have over 300, I think it's over 350 trained Christopher Reeve peer mentors across the nation. And we want to help. We want to help people. It makes us feel great, just as you do when you help someone else.
We got one last thing to say to you, Todd, before we say goodbye. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yes, yes. And I've got to tell you, this was a wonderful present. Thank you very much for allowing me to come on and talk about what I do in hopes that between your show and the people I work with, we could help others have a better quality of life.
We're glad to have you. You want it? It's been a pleasure as usual.
Yes.
And we'll see you.
I've been inspired by Todd's story, just listening to him. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Stay happy, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.